Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
We know that coming to Walt Disney World can be very overwhelming with all the fast passes, the dining reservations, even getting from attraction to attraction can be extremely overwhelming. But we've got a friend that can help you make your next trip to Walt Disney World even more magical. It's Ramon and Theme Park Concierges. You can visit themeparkconcierges.com or call them at 407-257-9973. Ramon and his amazing team of VIP concierges will take care of you from the moment you arrive at the park until the moment you go back to your resort. They can take care of you for a four-hour time slot or a full day. It all depends on what you need. They can take care of your dining reservations, your fast passes, and even make sure that you find even more magic hidden in the Disney parks. Well, contact our friends, themeparkconcierges.com, or call 407-257-9973 and tell them your friends over at the Disney Parks Podcast sent you.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We've got a great show for you, somebody that we have been looking forward to having on for a long time to talk about really a bucket list item for Tony and myself. Chris Nelgay is the owner of the website TDRExplorer.com, which provides the best trip planning advice for your trip to Tokyo Disney Resort, Hong Kong, Shanghai, Disneyland, and Asia. Through his podcast, guides, and videos, there's so many more things that he brings to the table. I cannot wait to pick his brain. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Chris Nelgay. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing really well. And it's actually 10 in the morning here, so I guess it's a good morning to me.
Good morning, my friend.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited.
Yeah, great. Chris, the first question we'd like to ask everybody is, how did your journey with Disney began? Did you go to Disneyland as a kid? Did you go to Tokyo Disney as a kid? And how did that all start?
So my first Disney park wasn't actually until 2010. So it's very recent.
Wow.
compared to a lot of people. Because I grew up in Canada. I grew up in Saskatchewan, which growing up, it wasn't the easiest to get to either Disneyland or Walt Disney World. Sure. I know now there's direct flights from where I'm from to either Disney Park in the U.S. But at the time, that wasn't a reality growing up. So I never got to go. It was just, you know, a money thing, time thing. And we were kind of a big family, so it just didn't really work out. Sure. But of course, we grew up with Disney and like watching Disney movies and all those things. So, you know, I was very familiar with it. But yeah, 2010 was my first Disney experience when I went to Walt Disney World. It was gifted to me as a graduation present from university. And ever since then, I just completely fell in love with Disney. Since then, I've been checking off all the Disney parks off my bucket list, which I finally got to do in 2016 when I went to the grand opening of Shanghai Disneyland. So I've now been to all the Disney parks in the world, which is, it's fun. I went to Disney World and then I went to Disneyland after that. And I was just so in love with it. And then actually in 2010 as well, that was my first visit to Tokyo Disney Resort. I visited three Disney resorts in 1 year.
Wow.
That's awesome. So I came to Tokyo Disney Resort in 2010. I was only here for a trip. So I went for a couple days, really enjoyed it. And then fast forward to 2013, when I moved to Tokyo, And my initial plan was to be here for only a year, but that obviously didn't happen. I'm still here. And of course, Tokyo Disney Resort is right at my doorstep, so I had to get an annual pass. And I've been visiting very frequently ever since.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that's my very shortened version of how it all started.
Right.
That's amazing. That's I'll go ahead and ask a question. I'm not even sure if it's in the list of questions ahead of time, but out of all the parks you visited, which one is your favorite?
I'm going to have to go with DisneySea. Tokyo DisneySea is my favorite.
Really?
Out of all of them, yeah.
That's excellent. We're going to talk. I see that in the question we're going to talk about some of them, but are there a couple reasons why that one kind of edges out the other parks?
For me, the atmosphere is like phenomenal, and the level of detail that they've put into that park is nothing I've seen at any other Disney park. And DisneySea is kind of what happens when Imagineers are kind of given free rein to do whatever they like. So it's really cool to be able to see that.
Well, at least I always say that it seems that the Oriental Land Company is willing to throw money at anything and build, you know, the best Disney experience. You know, it seems that here in the U.S., they're a little bit tighter with the money, you know, or frugal with what they're doing and how they're doing it. But it seems like in Tokyo that they just don't care what it costs. Just make the best.
Yeah, I would say with Oriental Land Company, they know their market very well. Yeah. And I don't know the figures off the top of my head, but last I read, it was something like 96% of people that visit the parks here are from Japan. You know, once they kind of figured that all out, there's a lot of people that flock to the park. So they're doing a very good job in knowing exactly what the guests here want.
Yeah.
And so, I think so that's
part
of their success.
Like a Disneyland. It's, you know, Disneyland in California is really for the locals, or it gets used mostly by the locals. It seems the same thing there. Yeah. Very, very interesting.
So let's switch over a little bit and talk about your website. Give us a little bit of an overview for those people who might not be familiar with the TDR Explorer Guide to Tokyo Disney Resort.
So TDRExplorer.com is, it started off as a side project, as a lot of things do. And I was just documenting my trips to Tokyo Disney, and I was just talking about the stuff I experienced, and I noticed a lot of people were very interested in what I was talking about. So, you know, over time, I started writing more different things, topics that people were asking me about, and eventually turned into what I have today. We have planning guides for Tokyo Disney Resort on how to do pretty much everything, because if you are a Disney fan who has gone to Walt Disney World or Disneyland or Disneyland Paris numerous times, you can almost throw everything you know out the window when you come to Tokyo. Things here are very different, and sometimes it's frustrating, but sometimes it's, you know, that's just part of the whole experience. So I help try and bridge that gap for people so they don't have such a frustrating time. Of course, like, the parks here are very busy, and they've been getting better in recent years, especially with tourism has been increasing in Japan. There's a lot of stuff that's not really explained in English. So I try to find these things that are only explained in Japanese and explain it in such a way that North American audiences or people who speak English will understand what's going on. So that's kind of what we do in a very broad sense. And then, of course, we also cover Hong Kong and Shanghai because they're so close to us, too.
Right. I see there's some other things on here that are pretty interesting with the Universal Studios Japan, but it's the, and I want to pronounce this correctly, Ghibli Museum.
Yes.
That's gotta be a fascinating place, 'cause the artwork just for the movies and stuff is amazing. So I'm sure the museum is gonna be incredible.
Oh yeah. I've been to the museum a couple times and I'm planning to go again. very soon. It's just, yeah, the Ghibli Museum is definitely a place to go if you're a fan of animation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just it's such a wonderful place, and it feels like it's like a little miniature theme park in a way. But right. Of course, there's like no rides or anything, but you're there to appreciate the art form.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Tokyo Disney guide that you just released, Chris.
So this was a long process. it took me. I had the idea for this ebook like 2-3 years ago, and I never really did anything with it. But until probably about August of last year, when I really sat down and said, "Okay, I need to write this ebook," because for me, like there's so much. I have so much that I want to share, and I want to put it all down in one single place, because I know I have the guides on the website and stuff, but I wanted something where it's just like one single package that people can have or buy, and mm-hmm. they can plan their trip from start to finish in just this one book. So yeah, we just released our ebook on Tokyo Disney Resort last month. And if you want to get it, it's at tdrexplorer.com/ebook, and it's 200 pages of planning material. Wow. There's so much stuff in there. Like when we actually like looked at the finished product, I looked at it and I said, I didn't realize I wrote that much. It was, I guess, a labor of love is what it was on right. my part.
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. So when you're the website that you have, are you gearing that mainly towards Europeans, Americans, people who obviously don't live in Japan or in Asia, or is it for anybody who just wants to know more about the parks?
Initially it was more for people visiting Japan, but over time I've noticed there's a lot of people that are living in Japan who are English speaking, and so they like to look to us for updates on stuff at the parks that are in English, because there's not too many websites that provide constant updates on the park in English. Like there's tons in Japanese, but of course, mm-hmm. if you can't speak it or read it, you're not going to find it. Right. So we gear it towards people who are visiting, of course, but then we also try to cater to the people who just want to know what's going on in the parks as well, because I know a lot of people find that very fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. When you go to the parks, like when you go to like Disneyland Paris, I've been to Disneyland Paris. That's the only parks outside of the United States I've been to. You can sort of get around a little bit because they do provide some English maps and things, and then they have some signage. You've been to Disneyland Paris. Would you say it's commiserate in Tokyo Disney, or is there very little to none in English? Is it something that could be much more complicated than, say, Paris?
If you asked me that question 5 years ago, I would say it was very difficult. But within the last like 2 years, the Tokyo Disney Resort has put a lot of effort into helping foreign languages. Okay. So there's a lot of they have park maps in English and Cantonese, Korean, and they have some other Asian languages as well. Mm-hmm. And all the signage is in English. Like there's English in there. All the restaurants have English menus. Oh. So if you go there with zero Japanese ability, you'll be totally fine.
That's good, because that's on my bucket list. So I just wanted to make sure how much trouble I was going to be in when I got there.
How much Japanese did I have to learn? you mentioned that there's some guides on your website. Is the Tokyo one the only one that you've e-published?
For now, yes. Yeah, that's okay. The only one I've done. Yeah. Okay. There's plans to do more in the future. So we're working on some plans for that in the future, just because we got a lot of really positive response with this ebook. So I wasn't too sure how it was going to go. It was kind of a risk on our part.
Sure.
But for the most part, it's been a pretty positive response. So I think it's a safe bet to, make guides for the other Disney parks as well.
Right. Right. And the ones that you have online, how often do you update those? Cause I know it's like an ever-changing thing, Disney. You know, it changes from day to day.
Mm-hmm. I try to update them at least once a year, like the really big guides. I try to do those at least once a year, just because otherwise I'll just be end up updating it constantly and never be able to do anything else. So, yeah, about once a year is when I do it.
Okay, cool. Good. Well, I mean, that makes sense. That would work. All right. So, I kind of want to go fanboy, so please forgive me for this. So for those people who are Disney fans, especially for the American audience, or I should say the North American audience, who understands the concept between Disneyland and Walt Disney World, what's the main difference? How do you distinguish between Tokyo Disney Resort and Tokyo Disney Sea?
So Tokyo Disneyland, how I usually describe it to people is they kind of took the best of the original Disneyland and Walt Disney World and put them together in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And then Disney Sea is a park that you're just never going to see anywhere else. It's one of those things that's really hard to describe, because I feel that any words that you can say about it doesn't do it justice. You have to go there for yourself to actually see it, to appreciate all the, like all the work and that went into this park. So yeah, I don't know if that really answers the question, but.
Well, no, I mean, it's the imagery that I see from, I mean, my outside of Shanghai Disney, because I think everybody wants to go to Shanghai right now. My desire had always been prior to that was Tokyo Disney Sea, because the imagery and the things that I'm seeing from there, some of the attractions just look amazing. And I have not done a deep dive in Disney Sea, but it seems that there's much more water-based transportation. It seems to be much more, you know, they use the word sea literally, so it's much more, you know, water-based than like this is like Disneyland in Asia.
Yeah, that's I guess that's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
So, Chris, what would you think is one of the better attractions at, outside of the U.S.? What is one of the better attractions in any of the resorts, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo, that maybe, what's the best thing outside the U.S.? What's the best attraction?
Are we going to go with, like, unique attractions?
Yeah, whatever you want. Like, unique, okay. Best experience.
I would definitely have to say Winnie the Pooh's Honey Hunt at Tokyo Disneyland.
Really?
That is definitely a ride not to miss. It uses the trackless technology, and it is miles above all the other Winnie the Pooh attractions in any other Disney park. Those other attractions don't compare to this one at all.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's just a fun ride altogether. Like, I could ride it over and over and over again and still not get bored of it.
Yeah. I saw a presentation, I guess it was 2 years ago now, at a Destination D event here in Florida. And it was, I guess, the show creator or director of Shanghai's Pirates of the Caribbean. And I was like, what? It's like this stunt show stuff with, this guy diving off and this fan blows him back up on this little cliff bluff thing. I was like, wow. I would have thought you would have said something like that.
Well, I was going to try and go through all the parks.
Yeah.
But yeah, at Shanghai Disneyland, that Captain Jack's stunt show or whatever it's called, I can't remember. Yeah, that show blew me away. Right. Like, that show was just so unexpected, and just everything that it did from all the things you just described, and just the transformation of the stage and all these things is just something that I wasn't expecting to see in a Disney park, to be quite honest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for us because, we hear about these places and it's like, we've got Disneyland. We can go to Disneyland. That it's a huge commitment for us to talk about going to Asia. And I think Tony and I keep talking about taking a massive road trip and just hitting all the parks there. And Shanghai Disney, I think far and away has blown us away with the technology. And with all the things like you mentioned, like with the honeypot, with the trackless stuff, and you know the Pirates Captain Jack thing and the Mystic Manor, what are the odds, do you think, of any of those attractions making their way back to the United States? Or do you think they're just, because of the deal with the Oriental Land Company, they're there to stay and they're never going to come our way? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff that Oriental Land Company does, they probably have some sort of deal or something. I'm not too sure that leaves a lot of this stuff here. Because I know that Oriental Land brings stuff over from other Disney parks. Like, of course, we have, you know, duplicate attractions and stuff that are just clones from other parks. But yeah, I think I'm sure they probably do something where they have exclusivity to certain things. Right. Probably like, because in 2020, we're going to have our new Beauty and the Beast attraction opening here at Tokyo Disneyland, which they're currently building. It's supposed to be in the Beast Castle and everything.
Right.
So I don't know if we'll see that anywhere else. Well, who knows?
What's the what's going to be the storyline about that? What's the attraction part of that?
We don't know too much about it yet. They haven't said much except for like artwork that they've released. It just looks like it's an attraction inside the castle.
Right.
Is really all we know.
I hate when they tease us with that stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Hey, I heard that Tokyo was building yet another park. Is that true, Chris?
I have no idea. I heard that rumor as well.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if they did.
Yeah, I heard they bought up some land near, I guess, the current parking lot, and they were going to build another park.
Yeah, that was the rumored Disney Sky. I don't know if that's happening or not. Yeah, hard to say.
Could Tokyo, it'd be cool, though. Could they sustain another Disney park?
I think so. They're, from what I know, they're like crowding is a big issue. Right. So anything they can do to kind of alleviate that would really help, because there's a lot of choking points at the park, and like I go enough that I notice these things, and they're starting to like acknowledge these things. Like right now they're working on they're updating the gates at Tokyo Disneyland first, and they're making it so it's all like e-ticket, so everyone can just scan their smartphone if they want, because right now it's the old like you have your paper ticket, and there's no e-tickets. They just introduced e-tickets like last month or something for some of the turnstiles. To get into the park, because there's so many people, that's a big bottleneck, and they're trying to acknowledge that. And of course they're acknowledging stuff in the park as well. One big problem is like the merchandise in terms of just crowds when like merchandise comes out. Cause yesterday I was at Disneyland cause they, released the merchandise for the 35th anniversary. You could not move in the stores. Like it was literally wall to wall people. And there was lines, like hundreds of people in line waiting to get into the store, cause they had to cut people off, and merchandise was flying off the shelves, and like the shelves were bare, and the cast members are trying to, you know, restock it, and stuff is already sold out, and we don't know if any of it's coming back. So I know one thing that they're doing, because they've announced this already, is they're releasing an app finally.
Yeah.
There's no official app right now, which boggles my mind.
Right.
But in their app, they're going to allow you to buy merchandise through the app to pick up in the park. So hopefully that helps with some of the crowding issues as well.
Right. So speaking of merchandise, so how does a person like me get some of that great merchandise? Is there somebody that's selling it online somewhere? Does somebody have a Tokyo Disney merchandise shop that I can go to?
Yeah, there's quite a few like on Instagram and stuff that do it. So yeah, you can find people on there. And there's also eBay, but of course on eBay you're gonna be paying a premium for that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, they don't officially sell anything online. I think they like to keep it very exclusive.
Right.
Sure.
Which kind of drives up sales, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because it, you know, it makes people really want it because it's hard to get.
That's what Disney does. And they do it the best.
That's what they do.
Yep.
So let me ask you this, because we get this question all the time. People who visit Walt Disney World for the first time or for the first time with their kids or as a family. So they always ask us, what's the best tip you can give us? And I understand there's different parks. So if you wanted to do, you know, a tip for each park, that'd be great if you felt like it. No pressure. But what's a tip for someone who's visiting to the parks in your part of the world that you would give right off the bat that someone needs to know?
Get there early. I cannot stress that enough. I know, like, going to other Disney parks, you get there early, but in Tokyo, it is crucial to get there early just to make your day much smoother. Like, that's probably like the biggest thing I can give. Just because of the crowds. And I don't say that to scare anybody. But that's just the reality of it. It's just the crowds are a lot more, there's a lot more crowds here than compared to the other parks. But I haven't been to the U.S. parks for over 3 years now. So I don't I don't know how much more crowded the parks over there have become. So I'm a little out of touch with that part. But
can you better define what early is? So if the park opens at 9, do we get there at 7, 6? What?
If you're there on a weekday, I would say get there at least an hour to an hour and a half before. And if you're there on a weekend or a holiday, 2 hours minimum, I would say. And that's if you want to make sure you get all your fast passes that you want first thing in the morning, because they do run out pretty early in the morning, especially for the really popular ones. Because here in Tokyo, we still have the paper fast passes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so you go over here. I'm gonna go over here. Wait. I need your ticket. Give me your ticket. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I don't envy you that, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, it's a science.
It is. It totally is. It's a cottage industry here at Walt Disney World. There's a lot of people who you can pay good money to help you with that. So when you're because of where you live in the world, is there a better time of year to come or a worse time of year?
I always recommend people to, if you don't care about the special events that are going on, I say the absolute best time is either in May or in the fall, like around November. May, because the weather is very comfortable here, because the summers are scorching hot and humid. It's worse than Florida.
Wow. Get out.
It's worse than it's all much worse, and Hong Kong is even worse than Tokyo.
So
May is lower crowds, because what happens at the end of April into beginning of May is one of the biggest holidays in Japan. We call it Golden Week, and that is just a string of holidays that happen to fall within a week span. So everyone just takes a whole week or a week and a half off, depending how the holidays land for the year, and the entire country is busy and the entire country is on vacation. And of course, most people are going to go to Disneyland, and that's one of the worst times to go.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you go like the week right after, it is completely dead.
That's good to know.
Usually in May, that's when the Easter event is still happening, because Easter usually goes until June. We have a 3-month Easter celebration at the parks.
Yeah, this is just for my own personal curiosity. What is up with that? Because is it because it's Easter and the Easter bunny? Because Easter, Easter to me is more of a religious holiday. And then, you know, there's all the Easter bunny stuff that happens. And there's several weeks of Easter in Japan. Can you explain that?
Well, since Easter has no religious meaning here whatsoever, it's all about the cute bunnies, because it sells merchandise. It sells food.
Gotcha.
And I don't think they have anything else they can kind of slot in between, like to kind of fill in the time, I guess.
Right.
I'm guessing that's probably what it is merchandise. Like, the merchandise is really cute for Easter. I'll have to admit.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah. I'm surprised you guys don't have like a food and wine festival or a festival of the Masters, which is like the art festival we have.
Right.
Or Flower and Garden. You know, I'm surprised they haven't, you know, filled that space with, you know, something they've done here, which is pretty successful.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's probably like a cultural thing, I'm guessing. Right. Yeah. But for every single event, there's always new food. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday for the 35th anniversary, I ate probably 6 new dishes.
Wow.
Yesterday, and that's not even half of what they have. Wow. So every few months, both parks come out with new food. And then on top of that, all the Disney hotels, they all do these special course menus, which is really high dining. Right. And they get these famous chefs to do certain dishes and stuff. Mm. And then twice a year is when they do this. They call it Dining with the Senses. And this is at the Disney hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this limited time event that you have to sign up for. And you get to dine with I believe it's like a famous chef of some sort.
Right.
And they prepare a meal for you themed to one of the Disney films. Recently, it was The Lion King. And reason why it's Dining with the Senses is you're blindfolded throughout the entire thing.
Get out.
And you have to like experience it like without visually seeing it. And my co-host on the podcast, she got to do it. And she said it was kind of like it was interactive in a way too. So they had like music from the movie playing and they had like they would explain certain things and like something would come and bump your seat. And like there were like it was this full experience while you're eating blindfolded.
Wow. Yeah, we have something, well, not like that. It's called Party for the Senses. And it's, you know, all the celebrity chefs in one room and they all make, you know, a little bite of their, you know, specialty dish. But that happens during the bigger event of the Food and Wine Festival. So interesting, though. Yeah. So where would you advise somebody to stay, Chris, if they were going to, let's say, Tokyo or Shanghai or Hong Kong? Would you say stay at one of the Disney resorts or, you know, stay somewhere else?
So for Tokyo, as I mentioned, like being there early is very crucial. So staying on a resort is the best bet. And if you can, like, if it's within your budget, stay at one of the Disney hotels. Mm-hmm. They're definitely worth the price, even if you stay for a night or two. And also the hotel guests get, we call it the Happy 15, which is 15 minute early entry, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it actually is. It makes all the difference.
Wait a minute. 15 minutes?
Yes, you get in 15 minutes before the park opens. So you can line up to get the very first fast passes of the day.
Right.
So like at Disney or Disney Sea, Toy Story Mania and Tower Terror are open during those 15 minutes. So you can get there and knock those out really quickly because those are the two of the attractions with the longest wait times.
Right.
So if you can just get in there, in and out, and then you're good for the rest of the day kind of thing. But another popular thing that people do for Tokyo Disney Resort is I recommend, like, if you want to kind of split your stay between going to the parks and going into Tokyo, which I highly recommend. Tokyo is a fantastic city. That's why I live here. There's also partner hotels that are within Tokyo. Now, of course, these are a little bit further, but they do have free shuttles that go from the hotel right to Disney. So you don't have to worry about transportation that way. So if you want to maybe split your time between the city and the park and don't really want to move hotels, you can do that as well.
Right.
Wow. Excellent.
As for Hong Kong, stay on resort just because Hong Kong is a little out from the city. But with Hong Kong, you don't really need to get there early. You can show up an hour later and still get everything done within 2 hours if you really want to. The hotels there are fantastic. Probably my favorite Disney hotel ever is at Hong Kong Disneyland, the Disney Explorers Lodge. Absolutely love that hotel. I'm told it's similar to Wilderness Lodge in Walt Disney World.
Wow.
It's Walt Disney World, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Wilderness Lodge out here. Yeah, we've got the big, looks like we're out west. You know, we've got like the Grand Canyon looking decor on the fireplace. It's an amazing resort out here. I can only imagine what it looks like in Japan.
And then for Shanghai, for people, the biggest concern is like where to stay in Shanghai, because, you know, everyone hears the horror stories from China and all these things. I would say stay on resort for Shanghai. Again, Shanghai Disneyland's a little out from the center of the city. So you can choose between the Shanghai Disneyland Hotel or the Toy Story Hotel. The Toy Story Hotel is the value hotel, and both of them are great hotels. I've stayed at both. And then there's also there's some hotels around the area, like the Marriott, which I stayed at during my last visit, which was really nice.
Cool.
And it was super easy to get to from the airport and everything too. So I would recommend for Shanghai to stay on a resort for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Do you have any other questions, Steve?
Nope.
All right. Why don't you tell us, Chris, where everyone can find you and your guides on the internet?
We have everything on our website at tdrexplore.com. And if you want to get our ebook, you can do so by going to tdrexplore.com/ebook. And wherever we're on social media, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Pinterest and Facebook. We're all under TDR Explore. And we're also on YouTube as well. We're pretty much everywhere. Cool. So, you can find us there.
Right. And Chris, you mentioned you had a podcast. Can the people find that on TDR Explore as well?
Yeah, the podcast is right on our website. And you can also go onto iTunes, Stitcher. And if you type in TDR Now, that is our podcast that will pop up.
Okay, that's great.
Sweet.
Yep. So, Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We had a good time. We probably going to have you back once, some big news happens in some of these parks and you can tell us all about it firsthand rather than us reading news stories, which get boring.
For sure, yeah. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So
love to have you.
Yeah. So everybody go check out his guide, the TDR Explorer Guide to Tokyo Disney Resort, and check out the site. There's tons and tons of great information there. So thanks for coming on, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. And we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.